Yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Bossolari, or Rob Trump.
Well, your name is, I'm not breaking fourth walls here, but I'm sure Steve's name on his bills was not Sin City Steve.
That would be correct. That would be correct.
Excuse me, Mr. Sin City, your mortgage is due, Mr. Sin City. Mr. Michaels, your shift at the radio station is going to start in any minute.
Sin City's his last name.
Mm. There should be a comma in there.
Yeah. But
nonetheless.
It's Steve Sin City.
Right.
Sin City. And it's a little bit Italian. It's Steve Sin City.
So something happened this weekend that we were supposed to spend a lot of money on, but we wisely didn't.
Are you talking about across from the Orleans on that corner with DJ?
Yes, well, that too.
Well, let's jump into night one. Yay! Night one. Here's the card. We can bring the card back up, but. All right. Rob, you, I believe, put on some baby oil and sat back with a bucket of popcorn with a hole in it and started watching.
Liv Morgan, although Liv Morgan's freaking me out without the eyeshadow and that bug-eyed, blue-eyed thing she's got going on now is freaking me the fuck out, I'll be honest with you. Like, woman, I know you got popped in the skull, but Jesus, you know. Tell somebody down in their makeup truck to put makeup on you.
You got
bags bigger than the money bags they gave you for that match.
I think she's still hungover from Coachella.
Yeah, that's yeah. I agree.
They went with that, but still, oh my Lord. You got to drain the sacks under her eyes.
All right, speaking of sacks, Rob, what did you think of night one?
All right. Pop up the picture. This way you guys can look around and I can be blocked. All right. Real quick. Gunther. And, oh, actually, I don't want to skip that one. We'll go to Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre. This was what it was supposed to be. They put it on ESPN. It was a bloodless street fight. It was entertaining. Jacob Fatu went over. He beats Drew McIntyre. Wrenches to the eye sockets, all of the lovely stuff. Drew McIntyre seemed to be afraid of the toolbox because he was having flashbacks of his cage match with CM Punk, but it was good. A bunch of women got into the ring into an estrogen extravaganza. And what we were left with in the end is we were supposed to get Nikki and Brie Bella, but one of the, Bella twins busted their ankle. So instead, we got Paige, who all y'all thought were going to come out Monday night. Nope. And they said, hey, I tried to do everything I could to fight in this. She comes down to the ring with the crutch. I wonder what's going to happen. Clocks Charlotte upside the head, screws up the Twisted Bliss. I don't know what Paige's finisher is. I can't remember. It's been 20 years, but they win. Paige cried hysterically, which was beautiful, but they're supposed to be heels. So I was kind of conflicted on this one because it was a beautiful moment, but they're going to be heels. Am I not right or wrong? Or
they,
I think that shit goes by the wayside whenever there's any kind of a return.
Yeah,
like Paige, you know, they know people aren't going to boo Paige on.
No, of course not. Now, what you could do with that future booking, maybe you have one of the Bella sisters be jealous, low key.
Bro, you've got pre-booked, so you've got pre-baked in shit right there.
Perfect.
Right.
Next. What else? Give me a, all right. So we had the big ladder match. Not the ladder match. We had one of the opening matches, which was a big clusterfuck where the Usos and L.
Oh, that was another night.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got that on the, you got, that's right. That was night two. Lynch and Lee. AJ Lee did not get her head, did not connect that turnbuckle. It came close, but we got the spirit of what it was all about, which was Becky Lynch screwing around with the turnbuckle, which she's been doing as of late, and Jessica Carr getting in her face a few times to try to break up the shenanigans, but it turned out in Becky Lynch's favor. I don't think we're going to see AJ Lee again. Nice little mini run. And she did what she had to do. She entertained Morgan and Vicaire. Jesus Christ, the entire Judgment Day came out to decide that one. Stephanie Vicaire got fucked over, and Liv Morgan looks wily as fuck. Oh, and she also stripped down naked from her face to her ankles and did a little dance. Somebody must have told her that this was 1999 and that she was to do a Britney Spears thing where she was auto-tuned as fuck. But I mean, whatever. All right. And 10 years, she'll be dancing with knives in her kitchen, and her and the WWE will have a conservatorship over her.
You mean you don't now?
Yeah. She probably really thinks Dami is her daddy. All right. Did we forget any matches on night one?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton. Now,
That's the real main event right there. That was the real main event of night one right there. Pat McAfee and Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll belly flopping onto Pat McAfee, hot knife in the guy or jackknife in the guy, putting him through the table. But here's the thing. I didn't even mind that spot. That was the freebie. I like that Randy Orton, for out of the blue, KOs him. McAfee comes back in with the uniform after Robinson takes a nut shot or whatever the hell he got knocked unconscious for in an indescribable amount of time or indeterminate amount of time. And here comes Pat McAfee with the retro uniform to go. And he didn't do that. He didn't do a fast count, which was shocking. He could have done the fast count.
Should have done the fast count.
Would have made sense. It would have been in character. Randy Orton walks away with the belt. He did the one, two, and he did it legit. And I went, do you know what your story is?
Randy Orton's not supposed to win the belt.
I
jackass.
IWC, a lot of people are saying that he was. Don't know, but fine. He
RKO's the IWC.
Dirt sheets. We know it is what it is. What I'm saying is, though,
they held back on a lot of what they could do.
All right. But
Uncle Dave,
that was, I'm sure he was in there writing how beautiful it was. The fact that he RKOs it means whatever storyline we thought they were going to do with Pat McAfee, they cut that short at the ankles and kicked him to the curb. I guess they finally went, oh, fuck, the fans really don't like this. We're not going to make some pseudo NWO thing where they walk around with RKO shirts. Okay, fine, let's end it right there. But it was abrupt. Came out of nowhere. I would have liked to have seen him do that on Monday or Friday, where Pat McAfee comes out there and says, hey, buddy, we're going to bring it back. We're going to do that. Not in the heart of the match that McAfee was supposed to be a part of, putting this guy over, and he did that. And the entire night, Randy was over, Pat wasn't. So it was weird dichotomy of the fans are behind fucking, Randy Orton, and they're booing the shit out of Pat McAfee, and he looked cornier and cornier. I actually liked this in its inception, and the more Pat McAfee talked, the cornier he got. So I'm glad he got RKO'd. I would have done it on Friday, I would have done it then. But then he beats the shit out of Cody Rhodes all pulp and crushes his eye socket, leaving me to believe, please give this guy the fucking strap at Backlash. We'll get to that later, because nope.
It's not going to happen.
So we'll get to that later. Night one, mostly predictable. Mostly schlock, predictable. You have the Judgment Day come out there, predictable. We know the women are going to come out there and fuck over Stephanie. You had Randy. Now, what do I say about the ring attire? What happened? Homeboy walks out in solid gold. He came out in a solid gold helmet, solid gold jacket, solid gold. Randy Orton came out in black. But Cody Rhodes came out in solid gold and white with diamonds. I know it's corny to say this, but I've always subscribed to the Ric Flair methodology where your ring attire is going to determine, in many cases, the course of the match. Call it conspiratorial, but that's how I see it. But it was a safe night. Everything went the way it was supposed to. There were no surprises. There was nothing over the top. And I almost forgot Gunther. Yeah, Gunther was completely outshined by Bron Breakker. So you have this great match, and then Bron Breakker steals the show and spears Seth Rollins out of his boots with his 9-mile head start to finish it off. And Gunther kind of goes to the back burner. So unless Paul Heyman's going to represent Gunther, I don't know what you do with that.
You going to come up for air anytime soon, bro?
I'm done.
All right, sorry. Just checking.
That was it.
Shit. I would have liked to have, had a little bit of conversation with you during that, but, you just kept going. It's all good, man. It's all good. You were eager to talk about night one. So, realistically, I don't think that there was too much that could have been said outside of what you did say there. The only thing that I'll mention is Randy Orton is not going to be getting the title anytime soon. He came into the match with a back injury. So unfortunately for many of the WWE fans, as of right now, Cody with your broken orbital socket is your champion. So obviously it's a good thing that Pat McAfee is not going to be in the equation any longer. And right there, you see it from the Observer. He is not medically cleared after WrestleMania 42. WWE confirmed that Cody Rhodes suffered an orbital injury in his night one main event against Randy Orton. His left eye was swollen shut, required multiple staples, and there is currently no timetable for his return. So if it was the punt kick, if it was the belt shot to the face, whatever it was, that Cody is shoot legit injured right now. So that's not a good thing.
I'm like, the only way to get over on this business is to wreck your orbital socket, my son.
And you notice that he did get a little bit of blood earlier in the match, and it didn't get the desired effect. So then he goes back and cuts himself again, and then you get the stereotypical red hair. Yeah, it was good. I can safely say this. The Jacob Fatu match, we did see the fallout from that on Raw the next night or two nights after that, which I'm sure that we'll discuss. But for the record, Stadium Swim. I did not go to Allegiant Stadium. I did, however, enjoy night one from Stadium Swim at the Circa. Highly recommend it if you're a local or if you're in town for a big event. Definitely recommend checking that out. It was a blast. The staff was phenomenal, and the accommodations were amazing. Thank you again, sir.
So did it get you wet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the staff there gave him a full release.
Oh, I was thoroughly sports entertained.
He took a ride in the orbital socket, baby. Oh, yeah.
My father would have cleaned his pipes.
You know, my favorite thing on night one was this guy.
Oh yeah. So.
Oh boy.
And that's not surprising at all. I mean, in a night where, let's be real, night one, this has been a growing trend. The two night WrestleManias we've seen where the first night doesn't quite meet the expectations of the fans. Now, whether that's I don't ever want to assume that WWE or AEW or any pro wrestling show that we watch is deliberately putting out a bad product. I'm not saying that. But
No, Steve, it's not even, it's not that it's a bad product. It's the honest answer is you can't build. And we say this about, when I say this about AEW, right? It's matches. So it's 8 matches, 10 matches, 15 matches, whatever the fuck he puts on his pay-per-views that go 9 hours, right? Not all those matches should be on that show, right? So same thing with this. When you're doing 2 nights, you just are going to have a bunch of matches that are not built up for this big event. If you would have taken, you know, and that's the whole thing. I was just talking to Joe on the DeFalco Files about it, and this was the thing that came to my mind. WrestleMania 3, Andre Hogan, Savage, Steamboat, right? I asked Joe, what was the tag team title match on that card? Can either of you guys name what happened with the tag team title?
I'd have to Google it. I'm not even going to lie. I'd have to Google it. I'd have to Google it.
So the honest answer is there was no tag team title match. It's because the Bulldogs and Coco Beware teamed up to take on the Hart Foundation and Danny Davis in an undercard match that really just featured Matilda and Frankie the Bird.
No, oh God, I remember
cards
that.
Are right. The cards have never been, oh my God, this is a super show from first match to last match. These are incredible. But there's story bits and that's it. And it fills.
I look at it like
put it on 2 nights. That's the problem.
I look at it like this. You guys remember Kill Bill?
Yes.
Everyone saw Kill Bill 1. Tons of action. They saw Kill Bill 2, and everyone walked out of the theater complaining when I saw it. And I said, wait a minute. It's not 2 movies. It's 1 movie split up in 2 parts. Your first movie was your action. Your second movie was your deep-driven storyline. And you can't have one without the other. In this case, with WrestleMania, they put some of the stuff on the front end, and on the back end, they put all your higher action, if you want to call it that. But it's it's one program. And then they divided how they do so they can squeeze out the maximum storytelling.
Right. And then Tarantino put both those films together this past year into one big, long,
yeah, the fucking big bloodiest, film. The big, yeah.
Right. So the, you know, again, the honest answer, and this is going to be something we'll talk about in a second, but it's money and that's that. Okay.
Yep.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Okay. Night.
Absolutely.
Night.
Better.
There we go.
Better.
Yes, it was absolutely better, to say the very least. Everything that night one was not, night two was. Most notably, I mean, it. Y'all probably saw the show. Everybody listening to our podcast right now saw the show in some way, shape, or form. So I don't need to belabor the point about the long ad breaks between the matches on night one, and especially that 45-minute break between the semi-main and the main. Night two, they didn't have that, and they actually had fewer matches. It felt like there was a lot less downtime. Again, I was not in the building for this. Shout out to the Plaza for their watch party. It was a lot of fun. I think that they really did set the tone in the proper way on both nights with the matches that they put on the ESPN Hour. You know, night one, they had that unsanctioned match that was still TV friendly. And, you know, they had that trios match, which obviously got the crossover appeal with the YouTube and the streamers. On night two, you had the making of a new star. And they did exactly what they should have done with Obafemi going strong over Brock Lesnar in sub 5 minutes. This match was done absolutely perfectly. And the reaction that Oba is already getting on the main roster is amazing. And that 6-way ladder match, spot fest, yes, but still a very good, very good match. And yes, Oba showed up on Raw looking like $1 million. Dude didn't have to say much at all. 4 words, and that was it.
Yep.
I'm happy that he went over. I'm not happy that it was a sub-5-minute match, considering the level of the person fighting is Brock Lesnar. I didn't like it when Brock Lesnar wiped out Kofi Kingston in an F5. I certainly didn't like that he didn't even get a commercial break and that he's done in 5 minutes. I didn't like that he got his ass kicked every encounter leading up to it. I would have liked to have been maybe a 10-minute match, maybe something where there's a bit of a seesaw. This was lopsided, which is fine.
Why are you doing that to him?
What do you mean? Why am I doing that to him? I have no problem.
Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar basically shows up and goes, yeah, first match, please. About five. Cool. And then decides, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done.
I don't mind that. What I mind is that the match was so fucking rushed. Now, if they deliberately did not know behind, if they didn't
what are
know,
you fucking talking about?
This under 5 minutes for if you're telling me ESPN that you have a UFC legend and a WWE legend who is about to retire, maybe they don't know behind the scenes. Maybe they don't. Maybe he only told Triple H. Maybe this was a Luke, I am your father thing, and they told nobody behind the scenes. Fine, but for a match of this caliber, for it to only go 4 minutes and 46 seconds, make it make sense.
I hate to fucking say that, but it did, because that just made Oba Femi the most fucking ferocious person in the goddamn company. Yeah. Period.
Yeah. I'm not going to call you an idiot, but unfortunately, this is one of those rare instances where I am going to agree with that guy right there, Matt Michaels, because, yeah, dude, you literally passed the torch from Lesnar to Femi. And obviously, before Lesnar took off his gloves, before he took off his boots, he threw up the X in the ring before he did it. So that tells me that I don't know how much of that was necessarily planned. Of course, the rumor has been going around that Lesnar is going to end his career in Minneapolis at SummerSlam against Gunther. But realistically, does he have to at this point? I don't think that
he's not, that this was it. They said on Monday, exactly, this was it.
Yep.
A lot of people were speculating on Sunday, late in Sunday. Oh yeah, he's going to go against Gunther because Gunther's going to want to be the one to retire him. No, he gets to go out with some dignity this way. Yes. For my taste, for the caliber of person it was, too short. Too short.
Okay.
Too short.
That's understandable. That's understandable. We can definitely agree to disagree on that, bro. But yeah.
One of the few times I'll agree to disagree and not be angry about it.
Yeah. There you go. See?
Well, that's no fun. The anger breeds hate.
Fucking guy over here, he's worried about a jab.
I know, right?
Don't cough on me and give me your diseases.
I don't know about that.
Fucking show you, I'm going to China tomorrow.
We'll touch base in about 10 years, bro.
All right, Rob. Well, then why don't we move on to Jade Cargill, your girl, who you love so much, and tell us why she was shit in this match.
She won. Hold on. I didn't say she was shit. Here's the thing. The bar is low. The bar is low for a match where there was no botches. People go, wow, she wrestled a match, didn't botch, and her timing wasn't off. Good. Did she look good? Yes. Did she look great? No.
No.
But she looked good. She looked competent in the ring.
Did she have to, though? Did she have to look great in the ring? No. I would argue no. Rhea Ripley is one of the biggest stars, male or female, on this roster.
Here's the thing.
And I think that we, again, in this match, they did the exact right thing. You had Rhea go over strong. And quite frankly, I thought this match was better than it had any right to be. I'm not saying it was a great match by any means. Quite frankly, out of the matches on night two, it was the worst match. But comparing it to everything else here, I mean, realistically, it also came in with the least amount of expectations.
That's what it is. So it came in with the low expectation, so it was that much better. What it didn't annoy me, because you knew it wasn't going to happen any other way, as when you see B-Fab and Michi, I'm like, Wait a minute, Io Sky, any second now. 3-2 Oh, there's Io Sky.
Yep. You knew it was going to happen.
No.
You
knew it was going to happen. Now, she wins. My logic is this. There's really nowhere else for them to go because Jade Cargill is not going to go through the roster one more time or go through a tired Charlotte Flair who's on a part-time schedule, so to speak, or I'm not going to take her seriously against Alexa Bliss or any of them. There's too many tags going on over their tag teams. So this was the only real choice left for them was to put Rhea Ripley in that new situation and deal with all these people. So fine. And she didn't wrestle poorly. She didn't. And it was better than she did in those 60 squash matches, 30 of which were against, Red Velvet.
No shit.
So I will give that a
thumb in the middle.
Yeah, because Rhea Ripley did not, exceed expectations. There was no way for her to push herself. She's not going to. When she fought Charlotte Flair a couple of years earlier, like, oh, Charlotte Flair rolled out of the ring and was crying and laughing. Rhea Ripley was covered in sweat. Like, ah! This time it was like, good job. Pat in the head for both of you. And that was fine.
Okay, Trick Williams wins the IC belt or US belt. Right.
As he should have.
I mean, no surprise there, except for the fact that maybe the buildup could have been better. It could have been more of an important match. But
fuck Little Yachty. Did I need to see Little Yachty? First of all, did I need to see Trick Williams do his best John Cena impersonation where, like, for the middle part of the match, he was getting his ass kicked, and then all of a sudden he gets a second wind when, for all intents and purposes, Sami Zayn should not have had a chance in hell.
You gotta tell a story, bro.
But what's the story gonna be? Like, how long are we gonna drag Little Yachty around?
Oh my god,
bro! celebrities ain't going away. This is the new normal, if you will. So
I wanted. For,
have you guys watched WrestleMania?
I'm well aware. I'm well aware. I do still think that Trick Williams is pulling that train down the aisle right now, though. Even still, a couple of days later.
Figuratively speaking.
That thing was crazy.
Yeah. I wanted Sami Zayn to get the
Rob will give you a full refund, Marcus.
Yep. Just send the request through Cash App or Venmo to Rob. He'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Yeah. He said, like, I'm so sorry this WrestleMania sucked. And I will pay back any fans, especially Marcus.
Very simple. What I'm going
to do. Play the clip.
I'm going to use AI, and I'm going to make a good WrestleMania 42. Because let's be honest, this was the sub golf clap of WrestleManias. It was, we have a checklist, and we have to check shit on a list. And next year, we're going to fucking Saudi Arabia. So now we're going to be up at a fucking 10 in the morning watching this fucking train wreck. And it's going to be a train wreck in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck with any of you guys. I don't know what paint you were huffing, but if we go down that the two on the left, Sami Zayn should have gotten the shit kicked out of him. The fact that they were going, wow, Trick Williams is rolling around on the outside of the ring and he's having a hard time with Sami. Get the fuck out of here. And then Brock Lesnar should have been like, yeah, fuck this. I'm going a little bit longer. But I get it. Commercials, ESPN free, new people, fans, monies. Yay. Yep. Yay. Which is how this shit turns out. This is why Star Trek's not on anymore, because they used that philosophy. But we'll see.
Yeah. And I think that it's pretty interesting that you're almost campaigning for a flipping of the match times between Zayn Williams and Femi Lesnar.
What you were saying. I'm gonna say right now, 110%, because first of all, Zayn's character has always been obnoxious. You want to see him lose. You want to see him get humbled. I want to see him wander around in the back, in the bowels of the show, going, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
So
I want him to either become a mega heel or just disappear.
My question is this. How many, like, 10-plus minute matches did Goldberg have when he was getting his Herculean push? Or, let's be real, how many 10-minute longer than 10-minute matches did Brock Lesnar have when he was getting his initial push as the next big thing?
Two things I'll say about that. One, what happened to WCW? Vince Russo, down the drain.
Okay, that's fine. What about Lesnar?
And Lesnar did not have this. So they brought out Paul Heyman to bring him out there, and they kept it super simple. That son of a bitch, Trick Williams, got moves. He's already been a champion in other places. He's got mic skills. He does not need Lil Yachty checking for polyps. And we don't need to sell Sami Zayn because Sami Zayn fucking sucks. Sami Zayn is whine, 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 punch, 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 Blue Thunder, kick out, kick out, kick out. Oh, and now his gimmick is he doesn't even get a solid Huluva kick. He tries to sneak it in like a little weasel behind while the ref's back is turned. They did that twice. They did that when he beat Carmelo Hayes. He snuck in the thing while the ref was going, hey, wait, let me check on the guy, see if he's okay. He snuck in the kick, and that's how he won. And he tried to do it on Sunday, and I went, put him out of his fucking misery. Do I need Lil Yachty to get involved to have Sami Zayn get put out of his misery by Trick Williams?
Of course not. I don't need any shine off
of Trick Williams. Trick Williams is shiny lemon pepper steppers, can do no wrong. Don't give me the black Pat McAfee. I don't need it.
Wow.
Mic drop.
There you go. Yeah. And I think the one match that we haven't said a single word about, though, was the Demon versus Dom. I think that match had a good pacing. I love the presentation of the Demon. Absolutely was what it needed to be. No complaints. Balor, and this ties in. Obviously, he trimmed up his beard, and dude looks like he hasn't aged a day in a decade, as evidenced by his appearance on Raw. Crazy.
All the Irish wrestlers look the same. All four of them look exactly the same.
Yeah, man.
Becky Lynch looks the same. All of them. What's her name? hey, you got a new fan there, Steve.
Nice job, bro.
Yeah.
Ladder match was fantastic, and the main event was incredible.
Yes, it was.
I mean, those.
I gotta give the main event props. I am not one to give it props for those guys. Michaels, you and I are gonna see eye to eye with this. If I'm Dave Meltzer, I would give it the full 5 stars, bro. I would give that match 5 stars. It was one of the better WrestleMania main events.
Hold on. Oh, where did it take place? Vegas?
Exactly. It didn't take place in the Tokyo Dome.
Four and a half.
Exactly. I didn't mean to step on you, man. Go on ahead. Sorry.
That's it. I was just going to say those two were the standouts, I think, early and late. And Marcus, we're not talking about Dynasty. Go fuck off.
That was last week.
Bring up Dynasty.
Dynasty. The fairest comparison will be how good All In does. It's not set up yet. There's seeds, but there's nothing concrete where I can, tell by April what we're going to see for All In. I'm hopeful, but
Hold on. Do 2 days, and then we can talk about it and compare it.
Yeah, but here's the problem. We all basically said, for whatever the reason, whether it was by design or by happenstance, that night one was not good.
Night one was dog shit.
Okay. Why am I comparing? I would rather have a good 4.5 hours. And also considering that there's only about an hour and a half of actual time, the rest was fluff and fillers and commercials and pizza and Wheatley's vodka. And whereas AEW,
you're talking night one, it was 76 minutes of in-ring bell to bell.
It's because of this. Okay. Shapiro claims WWE audience tripled after Netflix deal. Shapiro also claims that TKO is in control of creative. And guess what? They're a fucking company, okay? This is their business, to make as much fucking money, because they bought the WWE. Get fucking over it, everyone.
No. Realize we are responding to what you said.
With a company in UFC that is fucking in so much trouble that the reason they're doing all this shit is to make fucking money so they can sell this fucking company. That's it.
Do you think they're going to sell the TKO or whatever and just prop it up to sell it off?
Eventually, they have to make this profitable enough to show that they can sell this, because it would be too hard to sell UFC as a separate product because of all the debt. So they have to upside this whole fucking thing and then eventually sell it to the Saudis, is my guess.
Yep.
Oh, God.
And there you go.
And it will be a shit show.
But that's the thing. The thing
your brain is fighting the reality, which you're saying that's the thing. I have to judge this. I'm judging this on the merits of the quality of the programming, and you riddled it with commercials. I'll keep it the super brief analogy. When I worked in radio got bought out by advertisers. The advertisers ended up doing so much advertising that there was only about 4 songs played every hour, and the rest was advertisements, and the people stopped listening. In this case, they will stop watching.
Good.
Not great. So if somebody says to you,
why not great? With all the complaining that is done about how shitty it is, it's so shitty.
It had a lower turnout this year. We all agreed that night one was shit.
You're going to see that in the market as well.
That's the
consumers will speak with their wallets.
And Nick Khan literally came out and said that the reason the prices are so high is because the demand is there. If they do not stop watching and stop buying and stop participating, and the product is shit, guess what? You're going to have the same thing you had before you had AEW, where all you're doing is going, well, the product's shitty. Then how come it's not failing? Because people are still fucking supporting it. That's it.
The conversation that got the fire started was, hey, you're fucking saying AEW Dynasty was great. That's a wrestling fan. He has the right to say this was not as good as the other. That was their interview.
I'm saying it in the context of the fact that this happened in Vegas. This city, we're talking about what's happening this week. We don't have a shitload of time.
You could not fill up the arena both days. You had to do gimmicks. You had to do a gimmick where Pat McAfee said,
Of course you did. They set the prices too high. But that is them testing the ceiling for what consumers will be willing to pay.
Right. And they also ran the same fucking city again. The only reason they ran that same fucking city is because they were given tons of money from this fucking city.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point. You can't compare Dynamite. Sure, it was a great fucking show on free TV.
Dynasty.
You know what I'm saying? It's a different fucking thing. This is happening right here in our city. This is what we're talking about. We don't have a lot of time either.
I understand. I'm just going to say that is that you didn't sell out. You didn't capacity the shit. So let's knock that off. But they did
bigger box office than they did last year because the prices were higher, and they still drew over fucking, you know, whatever, 35,000-40,000 a fucking night. Now, if you would have shaved it down to one night, right, you can sell 100,000 tickets at these prices, and if you don't do the same goddamn city twice in a row, you definitely will. You know, that's the other thing. People, if you want to look at the quote-unquote fans, you know, who complain about this shit all the time, guess what? If this was still done in a 15,000-seat arena, like it had been done for 20 fucking years, guess what? The prices would be 3 times fucking higher just based on the inflation and everything about this. WrestleMania is not about let's take our family to it. That's what fucking a Raw is. Take the kids, take that. This has become a fucking corporate entity, period. That's it. It's the fucking Yankees, Rob. It's the goddamn fucking Yankees.
And thank you for that. You just gave me a freebie, because when the Yankees did that and the cameras went on and every seat behind home plate was empty, the Yankees were embarrassed because they could not get people to show up and fill the camera angle. It was embarrassing. The pitcher's there and you see the entire home, everything behind the home plate is empty because the Yankees did exactly that. And they got spanked for it, as they should have. Eventually, this will fucking hit WWE, and you're going to be going 2 years from now. Well, I guess they learned their lesson, because now they have to make it look good. When the cameras are going through, it
WWE. You have two separate entities here. This is TKO.
Fine, it could be TKO, BKO. I don't care. I care about optics. I care about the quality of the product. And it's the same thing. If I see seats are empty, like they did in Saudi Arabia, when seats were visibly empty, I went, stop it. Because I am less and less and less and less and less engaged. It's the same thing as when AEW does not pan to the upper deck because there ain't nobody sitting there. Then you have to reevaluate what the fuck you're doing. And if I want to buy your product, I'm going to pay attention to that shit.
Well, hold on though. But again, the Saudis, they paid the money. So what do you, does it matter if they don't get your money? No. Rob, if you were making $600,000 a year and you weren't going to the shows, and we're debating about this
because we both like wrestling. I don't give a fuck about the Nick Khan, Ari Emanuel angle of this. I don't give a fuck about their bottom line. It means nothing to me.
That's what you guys can't let go of.
Don't care. Don't fucking care. A billion years will go by. I ain't going to give a fuck. Give me a product that I know, I like, and I recognize. I am sitting here telling you what to show me. If you cannot fill up section C3, then you need to not have the camera go to section C3. There's no fucking excuses on that. You have zero excuses. If you can't fill the seats, you fucked up. You book a place that you can fill.
Right.
There's no excuse to be the top dog and have empty seats. There's no excuse for pumping it every year. This is the same conversation. This is the same conversation I had to with Jake Cargill. This is the same conversation I had when Jade Cargill, he said, why is she going to the main roster? Because you're putting her on the main roster and you're having her shake the hands of people on the main roster, which tells me you didn't do that with Ethan Page. You took all ego and you sent them straight to NXT and you didn't put him on Monday Night Raw until he was ready to be seen on Monday Night Raw. Maybe you put him in the crowd a couple of times, but you put him there when he was good and ready to perform at his best. And you rushed Jade Cargill out there, and you told me that indicates to me the mark, the fan, the enthusiast, the guy who's been watching since 1985 off and on, and then 1999 on consistently going, wait a minute. I know what I'm expecting to see. I know what I'm expecting to look at. I know what I'm expecting my guys to say, do, react. When you show me something is less than, you're telling me it's less than. If you're telling me the tickets aren't selling and that Ram is going to pick up the money for Monday, you're embarrassing yourselves that you have to plead for people to come to your show in the last days. Even AEW doesn't do that. It's pathetic that you dragged Pat McAfee on to try to cry people into last-minute sales. What are you doing? Make it make sense.
It does.
Sorry,
make sense.
Not sorry. It don't
it
make sense.
It does make sense.
You it's so great. You fucking, so you took what people were there and you squeezed them.
Fucking business now.
Hey, Yankees did this. To your example. What?
Michael said it's a business now. I said that it's always been a business. It's just more prevalent now.
Yeah, well,
it's not about us.
It's being
about,
run as a business, not as a wrestling.
It's being run as a ledger now. I am of course. A check mark. And yes. Fine.
That's what these guys want because they're the ones who own it. Just like I complain about Tony Khan being a fucking mark owning a wrestling company. It's the same thing on the
you
other
complain direction. About Tony Mark, Tony Mark, Tony Khan incessantly for 6 years. You've complained about the guy. And now I'm saying, hey, wait a minute. they clock the pendulum's going in the other direction and they're starting to do that shit and it comes apart at the seams. It's like when I went to Citi Field for the first time, I didn't care about the Mets, but I went to Citi Field and the foundation, it cracks. Why? Because they rushed the fucking building out there to meet a mark. So when I'm sitting under my fucking behind third place box seats, third base box seats, the concrete under me was already had a hairline fracture because they rushed the job. You put Pat McAfee out on a Friday night before a show begging for money because you rushed the product. You didn't establish a good story. You didn't establish. You have a night one and a night two. Fine. Right. Make night and one if good.
And if TKO is saying what they're saying, and if it's true, then they're the ones who did that. So what are you going to do?
It's like
Triple H can't sit there and go, hey, I'm the head of creative, when they're coming out and saying, no, we make all the
creative. Let me ask you a technical question then, because it's about the business, as you say. If I'm watching night one, am I watching night one and seeing that it's less? Is that done by design? Am I only watching a failing, struggling, poor night one, only with the idea in mind that it's to make night two that much better? Is that the idea now that we're going to deliberately tank the first night?
That was what I kind of teased initially, but because that's been the case. We haven't seen a solid night one and night two as long as they've been doing these two-night WrestleManias. And that's just the harsh reality of it.
But you've also never seen a solid WrestleMania one night from start to finish in which you can go back and go, every single match was fucking incredible. Storytelling.
You can hammock a match. You know what hammocking means. Hammocking is we'll have something weak in between two strong things. You can do that. You can give their people their Totino's pizza roll and shit break. You can do that. You can have a Rock and Stone Cold and Triple H and then have a Mark Merrill run around with Sable. You can do that. That's not the point. The point is you're telling me that an entire night one was trash. So why even bother? I would rather have five good hours than two, three.
Because again, hours. Rob, people fucking paid for it. People actually paid. No matter if you didn't sell the seats, you still fucking sold enough fucking money coming in that gate. That's what it comes down to. Again, you know, here you want it to be real. You want to see them get to the point where they need to do something. Then if 5,000 people would have showed up for WrestleMania, that would have made a statement. Right?
To me, the statement was made when you sent Pat McAfee out there telling people that there's a discount on Saturday. That was the statement. The fact that CM Punk had to address it was the statement. If it was so solid, and, like you keep insisting.
What? No, I'm just telling you the plain facts. The plain facts are the ticket prices were enough that they were going to make as much fucking money as they did last year or more. But why not then at that point know when you have your sales kind of going in and go, you know what? Everyone's fucking complaining about the prices. So why don't we find a corporate sponsor that will fucking buck up money and shoot down prices? It doesn't go both. You know, you want it to be like, well, they don't fucking make ticket prices pricey enough. Okay, they can't sell tickets. What do? They fucking offer something that's going to drop prices. What is it? Oh, that fucking, they shouldn't do that. That makes them look desperate to sell tickets.
Why didn't they just do the right thing? Why didn't they do the right thing in the first place?
What is the right thing when you're, Steve, you are a capitalist. I'm going to tell you right now, if I can give you $10,000 for a front row ticket, are you taking it?
And that's the thing is I completely agree. And I see the business aspect of this. And again, full disclosure, I am a TKO stockholder. So the fact of the matter is, as I had mentioned, yes, this is them testing the limits of what consumers are going to be willing to pay on a large scale. So, yes, I think that you're going to see a bit of a scale back next year in terms of Mania ticket pricing.
I wouldn't as say a next result, year, I would say the year after when they go, I'm assuming they go back stateside.
One would assume. One would assume, but if they do make plans change and things like that, and they do bring Mania back here and they forego the Saudi show, then yes, I could see Mania ticket prices for 43 being less.
I'm thinking like, no, I was assuming 44.
Or if you space it out a year later.
I'm assuming 44.
But you also have to take into consideration too, again, you have to take into consideration, what will the economy be, right? You gotta go. And again, once again.
Well, that's hoping that the WWE can maneuver around the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, but it comes down to the fact that if you're a company and you're making this type of money and you're fucking getting people, mind you, who are buying a spot on Cody Rhodes' bus for $10,000, then what's the problem with it? Because that is exactly what this is. This is a company. It's not a family business. It's not Vince McMahon. It's not Triple H. It's not one person. It's not creative. It's not this, that, or the other. These people are getting paid well. You know, that's the good thing, the upside of it, right? They're performing and doing what they're asked to do as good as they can. Does the product reflect what you might like? Probably not. Does the product still reflect what a 10-year-old kid likes? Absolutely.
You said the keyword as good as they can. Again, you every once in a while you sprinkle in a euphemism that doesn't line up. It's not as good as they can. They could have done better easily. They chose not to. They could have put other people up and written some better storylines. They chose not to. They chose to make the prices astronomical.
I was talking about the performers doing as good as they can in the situation.
I have nothing bad to say about the performers. My only concern about the performers is the way in which they are being utilized. And without getting deeper down the rabbit hole, they're doing
the best that they can.
LA Knight being relegated to just a fun match is insulting at this stage in his career at the WWE. It's like, just let the guy cream, okay? You've given him blue balls. His left nut has popped. What are we waiting for, okay? Fucking, you know, Montez Ford's going to have a litter before fucking LA Knight's ever going to see a legitimate title run. This is out of control, some of the shit that they're doing. And again, I don't know who's going into the AI and asking ChatGPT who should be the fucking title holders these days, because it almost seems like what they're doing. And then you wait too long and people get injured and then you can't use them.
They're not doing anything that they haven't done for fucking 40 years.
Disagree.
Really? Because I think the champs I remember are Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes, right? Those are the three guys who've had the belt right now within the last 24 hours, right?
Who has been holding the fucking belt for 10 years, off and on? Roman Reigns.
Right.
And
John Cena, Triple H.
You know, it's
The Rock, and it's Stone Cold, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan for 4 fucking straight years.
If everything is TKO this marketing and TKO that marketing, and you put endless Slim Jim logos on a fucking breakaway table, you're plugging the guy in, but you don't give him the ring. LA Knight, you've got the Uso who could barely talk. You gave him the belt. The one who could talk, you don't give him the belt. Half the shit that they do makes no goddamn sense. And by the way, making it make sense makes it make sense. Sense can line up. You don't have to just be a WWE. TKO has this thing where they have to be contrary for the sake of it.
And has not the wrestling business been a nepotism business and a who you know and who your pals are business for
sense meaning if you're putting this is the thing with Jade Cargill. If you're putting him out there, I'm going to assume that you are going to have good things for them, because why would you constantly advertise people that you're not using, who can be used?
Who just had the fucking title run for fucking 200 days?
Oh, yeah, and how long did that take? And you know what? Everybody else got knocked up
when she was fucking ready, and they already fucking... Well, I don't know if this fucking whatever. This guy made a great statement. Danhausen says that John Cena passed the torch to him in WrestleMania 42, Night 2, and he has new demands for WWE, including Danhausen Serial, Danhausen the Animated Series, his face on the side of production trucks.
I want the production truck thing. That would be great.
All right. Raw had some great stuff. This Penta,
by the way, Raw was fucking amazing.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, they fucking learned.
So Ruka showing up and confronting Liv. That was great. Braun coming back and destroying fucking Seth. And, of course, the Bloodline reuniting and Fatu challenging them. You know,
strange, but okay.
And, of course, Rhea Ripley leaving Raw. So, you know, and then, like you said, Ethan Page, coming out. And wrestling Javon Evans. And guess what? Did anyone else notice that all four people in that ring during that match were all AEW guys?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I picked up on that too.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. And it just goes to
sorry.
Anyway, continue.
Steve, finish that thought.
No, we're all good. Raw was excellent. They did a lot of really good things. Returns, debuts, set the table for the next year. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and again, that's the whole thing. It's like, say what you want about WrestleMania, then the hype comes into the night after, and now if
finally a good Raw after WrestleMania, finally,
right?
An agreement, 100% agreement,
right? All right, locally, Las Vegas Review Journal did a quick blurb on Kendall Gray, who got to wrestle at the convention center for the crowd, the Fan Fest crowd, yeah. So it was great to see that Kendall Gray got that opportunity. The Hall of Fame went down. Wonderful picture with AJ and the Machine Guns and Frankie Kazarian.
TNA.
That was wonderful to see. Drew McIntyre. Steve, so tell a little bit about what this story actually is, because I think this is great.
Yeah. So the tweet here from Drew says, for those fans who spent hard-earned money on a chance to say hello, take a photo, have something signed, or give me one of my many, many bracelets, I appreciate each and every single one of you. To those who rushed my family and I in the hotel, kept your kids up till 2 a.m. throwing them in front of us, or shoved a camera in my face without asking, you're lucky I'm a calm-natured person outside the ring. Please don't ever do that again. And I completely fucking agree. There was, dude, fan behavior this weekend was fucking atrocious, and quite frankly it was embarrassing, and it made headlines, as I'm sure we'll show here very shortly.
I wanted to say one thing regarding that, and I didn't want to get my friend fired, but she worked at the MGM Grand, and she texted me a picture of a wrestling ring in the bowels of the MGM Grand. And she goes, I don't understand what the big deal is. I said, if you were to take a picture of them training and accidentally spoil a multi-billion dollar production, fired would be the least of your concerns.
Yep.
And but she was telling me, she's like, they said, we want you to be head of security because you know nothing about wrestling. And she called me to say, I'm escorting a guy around with white hair and blotchy red skin in a weird suit. Wonder who that was. Woo! And I showed her a picture and she goes, yeah, that guy. Who is he? That's why they wanted her. But yeah, they set up in one of their, 3,000 seat, little dining hall convention rooms. They set up the ring, and that's where they did their training, in the bowels of MGM Grand.
Okay, so CM Punk got into it with this fan. Again, Steve, what was the full story?
Yeah, so
caught a little.
So long story short, this gentleman, using that term loosely, was getting in AJ Lee and Bailey's faces as they were waiting for an elevator to go up to their hotel rooms.
At the MGM Grand.
And so this guy goes up with his phone and puts it right in Bailey's face. Bailey is, you know, she tries to put up her hand to kind of, you know, block the phone, because quite frankly, at that point, you're invading personal space. And then when the guy, you know, continued, you know, essentially Bailey tried to shove his hand out of the way. The guy repositioned his hand, and then Punk came in, swatted the phone out of the guy's hand. The guy claims that he just wants an apology, which is bullshit. Like, realistically, fans and this culture of fan expectation is absolutely ridiculous. These professional athletes do not owe us a fucking thing when they are there on their own time. If they were, let's say, doing a meet and greet or a signing or something of that nature, by all means, mark out, meet them. And if you can even read their body language, if they're cool, kind of feel it out. Absolutely. But the second that anybody's like, no, I don't want to deal with that, just move on. They don't owe you anything.
You know, when I had a job once, and there was a kid I used to work with, when it was lunchtime, if you asked him anything about the workday while he's eating lunch, he would lose his goddamn mind. He goes, this is my one time to read my mail, communicate with my family, and enjoy my meal and not think about my day. These people are getting to their hotel. They've got the weight of the world on their shoulders because this is the most important day of their life coming up. Afterwards, maybe I would have given slight leniency, but even then, if somebody says no, then just be fucking cool. There was like the kid years ago who speared CM Punk and then went and bragged on his podcast about it. I would have fucking arrested him all over again. I would have charged him all over again because you didn't learn the lesson. If she's clearly indicating that she doesn't want anything to do with it, get the fuck out of there, dude. And I wish security would have just taken him out. You know, he doesn't fucking CM Punk deserves an apology.
If only the head of the MGM security team taking around wrestlers would have done something.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know, head, but
all right, this shot popped up on Monday Night Raw.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
you know, that was during Mania.
During Mania, yeah.
And a local Vegas comic won that. And he's a wrestling fan.
Nice.
And he got the golden ticket. And his name is Chris Waldeck.
Awesome.
And Chris Waldeck did exactly what that guy did to CM Punk, except he did it. He did that at a comedy show to Austin Aries. Austin Aries.
Oh, nice. Okay.
He Austin Aries wanted to do an open mic. This guy runs right up to the stage and starts recording me and goes, dude, stop that shit. Get the fuck camera out of my face. And
exactly.
Ran to the back of the room and shit himself. And we all went.
Can you blame him for the apprehension on that? But yeah, this image is really interesting, man, because a couple things. It gets funnier the more and more you look at it, because obviously it's drone footage from the strip. They could have had, you know, they could have aired any footage that they wanted, yet they choose an image where AEW Dynamite's being advertised in a billboard. And oh yeah, it just so happens that they're also advertising Kill Tony at the bottom of the screen. How ironic.
Yeah, and congratulations for Tony to actually fucking figure out run fucking billboards throughout the fucking city.
Maybe he'll actually do it when his company's in town. Probably not, though.
We'll see. Speaking of, AEW merchandise design team was laid off as they're splitting from Pro Wrestling Tees. This one has a bunch of names of the people. And, you know, that could mean something is in the works when they, who the fuck knows what, like, how long that's going to take. That's,
you'll be so strange.
And then also, Triller has now officially no more AEW, except for anything that you've purchased. It will still be available. Does that show us that we okay, and as that, where they're finally headed?
It shows me that they're finally realizing that they can absorb these things and do them in-house as opposed to contracting them out. Yeah. We've already seen them essentially provide their new pay-per-view distribution platform in HBO Max. So realistically, while Triller is a good option for some people, you know, there are some things going on with Triller. I'm not going to talk about that here. I'm not going to air dirty laundry. Yeah. But they made the move to break away from Triller today. They also made the move, obviously, as you mentioned, to sever the ties with them and Pro Wrestling Tees. So hopefully those artists that were laid off today from PWTs are actually sent a job offer from AEW directly, as they hopefully move these things to all under their umbrella. Because let's be real, if you've ever ordered anything from Pro Wrestling Tees, it's not like Amazon Prime where you order it and it shows up within a week. It can take 3 weeks to get a t-shirt,
Exactly. Okay. And then, of course, Darby Allin won the championship this week. He is now the TNT former champion, tag team former champion, AEW world champion, the first one to do that. And once again, they fucking dropped the ball because he won the title in the overspill. And if you had your DVR set, it cut it off.
Oh my god! So,
yeah,
that's unreal, man. Like, and the thing is that it was a great moment. It truly was, and it just goes to show that, you know, that promo that Darby did cut at the beginning of the show, you could tell. The just sheer emotion in his voice. He was crying as he was screaming out the promo. You could tell that the shit was real to him, and it actually made it his reason for being.
I've never seen a promo like that ever. And I love when he
amazing went to emotion
the ring and he goes, "It's showtime," and he goes, "No, it's your time." Yeah. It was simple. But it conveyed the emotion from Sting to Darby that was needed. And I like that Sting came out with white hair. He's had that for a while. But the way that they conveyed the message was spot on. Again, same thing I will say was with the other match. That was the fastest match ever. It was coffin drop, coffin drop, coffin drop, coffin drop, done.
That's a track record with MJF, though. If you think about it, when he gets blitzed early in a match, hopefully that they are building this into his character, because now he's gotten squashed by Wardlow way back in the day. He got squashed by Brody King. Now he's gotten squashed by Darby Allin, all of which were big free TV shows that he's clearly looked past his opponent. So hopefully, you know, they're telling a story with this, that this could be MJF's fatal flaw in his character. I think that they need to stick to this script. This is, whether it's intentional or not, they need to follow the path and trust the process.
They have a Renee Young or a Taz or somebody do a biopic on him or do one of those little...
Darby Allin already has an Everything You Need to Know About Darby Allin video on YouTube. It's about 9 minutes long. So I hopefully they do more of those kind of career or character introspectives, because that's what you need. Build these characters. So they're starting to do it, and it's paying off.
I like Darby with the belt again. Just would have liked a longer match. I'm going to be a broken record about it, but I knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
I liked the opening with Renee Young, where he just will not listen.
Yep.
Just everything was to perfection as far as the execution leading up.
Yeah.
The entire locker room emptying out to hoist him on their backs. You wanted this guy to win. What I appreciate is he's not begging. It was earned.
Yes.
He wasn't crying about it. It was good. And he will bring justice to that title. Does he have the typical look? No.
No.
Doesn't matter.
Of course not.
Doesn't matter. It's fresh because now we get to see the way he deals with all these people through his perspective, his eyes. It will make for unique matches and will allow other people that maybe never got that chance to elevate to meet it. So it's just fucking great.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then,
Yeah.
So a surprise startup appearance.
Yeah. So, obviously it's AEW canon now that Tekla was fired from Stardom because, she attacked Stardom president Taro Okada. And so obviously Stardom's in town, Tekla was in town and, so she showed up to the Stardom show and attacked Taro Okada. Yes, this should happen every year that Stardom is in the same city as Mania. Have Tekla show up and beat the shit out of Okada. Why not? It's fun.
Nice. Jack Perry and Marco Stunt defeated Orso and Stackhouse after the match. Marco Stunt got on the mic and let it be known he's back in wrestling full time. Yay!
Evidently, that car sales gig didn't take off.
No.
I would like to see him come back.
Oh, yeah.
Brody Lee Jr. defeated Joey Janela with the sharpshooter.
He looked good too. Arguably, that was one of the better debut matches for someone's first match. It was great.
Josh Barnett announced that Bloodsport is coming to an end for now. And then Josh Barnett showed up at Natural Born Killers on Saturday night. So
yes,
that was nice.
So you got to see Natural Born Killers?
Oh yeah.
Oh. I do want to go that
one. It was a good show. It was a good show.
You know, Saturday night, I'm like, wasn't there something I was supposed to do? Ah, shit. But I got to see House of Glory. Thank you, Steve. And that last match was good until.
Yep. Which that's actually a great segue. If you guys don't mind, I will. Yes, I will be going live on Thursday night. So we'll be going live at around 8 o'clock. And I'm going to do a wrap-up show. Went to 10 shows over Mania Week. I did two-a-days, basically. So went two shows per day and then watched a shitload of content on Triller. So, everything from Boca Raton Championship Wrestling, getting things kickstarted on Wednesday at 2 p.m., I did have a chance to go to the Downtown Slam as well that same day. Saw Big Valley Wrestling put on a great show with the city of Las Vegas. You mentioned House of Glory. I also was there for CMLL. Also went to Big Time Wrestling, High Stakes at the Bazaar Bar, Kingslayer Wrestling downtown at the Container Park, And then Game Changer Wrestling, Joey Janela's Spring Break, Killer Cross, Natural Born Killers 5. Dude, a loaded slate of Mania Week. So Thursday, I will be going live right here on the Vegas Bad Boys YouTube channel, Twitch, and Facebook. We're going to break it all down, talk about what was great, what wasn't great, and why, quite frankly, a match with two guys who had a combined age of over 120 stole Mania Week. And yes, I'm talking about the CMLL match between Blue Panther. Yes, Blue Panther and Ultimo Guerrero tore the fucking house down. I'm not kidding. That's not an ironic statement. They stole the weekend. It was a fucking great time. And shout out to Shotzi Blackheart, who quite frankly stole the weekend too. She was on virtually every fucking show, tore the house down wherever she went. Excellent stuff.
And we got to see her wrestle. You and I got to see her wrestle Charlie, a.k.a. Dakota Kai, and that was a great match. And they hugged it out right after. So I love the teamwork. Or was it sports, whatever the fuck.
Nice. Randy Orton called out Ted DiBiase Jr. for winning him 25K. And then Daddy got involved there. interesting stuff with that. This random fan said, hold on, when did WWE stop being on Peacock?
Jesus Christ.
That's been a while.
Here's all the ages of all the women who wrestled on WrestleMania. The youngest was Lyra at 29. The oldest was 42.
Lash Legend is 28.
Rhea's 29 as well?
I thought she was in her 30s.
Who?
Damn. Rhea.
Who did?
Rhea's 29, according to that graphic?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Dude, she's been wrestling forever.
she's had probably, what, 7 years at least? Five years?
That's crazy.
Lash Legend's 28.
Yeah, Lash is, dude, she stepped it up. She's definitely stepped it up. Props to her.
Yep. And Paige is only 33, too.
She's had quite a career already.
I know, that's an understatement.
Yeah. So, Charlotte's only 40, which is also funny.
Yeah.
So there you go. Some ages there.
Okay. What the hell was that?
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Yeah. It's the Pages.
Diamond Dallas Page. Hangman Page.
Stupid.
Page and Kimberly Page.
Oh my God.
There you go. Lord. All five pages. Then we got the poor Jedis and the and the black WWE champions.
At long last.
Yeah, oh, Big E is about just a little taller than me. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah. Here's four of the biggest stars in the history of wrestling all in one place.
All right, that one I did not get.
And of course, Cena.
Oh my God.
And the evolution of Oba Femi needs to be studied.
Oh my God.
I can't believe when Oba was a kid and he saw The Undertaker lose to Brock, he would one day grow up to be.
And then
he made it his life's mission to avenge The Undertaker.
Don't right. Come to the ring, Oba. Walk to the ring and avenge him.
Bro, at the watch party that I was at. Now, mind you, this is a watch party. This is not at the venue. Damn near everybody was doing the Oba strut. So that tells me right there, that shit is over. When something that's not televised, there are no cameras in the house, anything, and nearly everybody's doing that shit.
Crazy. I see your Oba strut and I raise you, Moose! Moose!
Moose!
I would love to see them two of them fight and then just have the people doing the moose first. I know it's not going to ever happen, but I would love that.
Yeah, there you go.
He's on TNA still. I mean,
they could pop it
one day. It's possible.
Yeah.
He's been on NXT once or twice, right? Matt's like, absolutely. Next.
Yeah, they've had some tease of confrontation, yes. But now that he's on the main roster, you probably won't see anything unless
TNA talent doesn't go to the main roster. They only go in NXT.
Yeah.
Well, actually, so. Jordynne Grace until she broke her dang ankle.
Well, she also signed a contract and shit.
Yeah, she's not. Yeah. The only one who technically, quote unquote, was
outside of a Rumble appearance.
Well, Hendry last year at Mania, too. Yeah. But yeah, most likely they won't start.
Isn't he on Raw now? Isn't he signed to Raw because they said he signed to Raw?
He will be on Raw Monday night. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He has a concert coming up on Monday. So.
Yep. So.
There we go. Okay, Rob, what you got going on?
Well, tonight, right after this, I'm going to zoom down the highway and get over to what I believe is the Lexi's tonight, where I will get another one of these glorious medals. I lost one. Nice. For my wonderful work of impersonations.
Oh, nice.
Right.
Because ain't nobody going to beat me for that.
Hell no.
Well, I mean, obviously the one impersonation and a medal kind of go hand in hand, so it's perfect.
No, I have another one too. I lost it. I'm very sad.
Oh.
Very, very sad. But that's
what about that? What about the cameos, bro? What about social media? Where can people follow you?
At Vegas Trump Guy, find me on TikTok and Instagram, and Boss Comedy, BOCE Comedy, which is cameo.com, cameo.com/BOCE Comedy, and Donald Trump and Barack Obama and anybody else you can think of. Yeah, you can even test me. We'll come and send you a private message. Usually about bombing bridges and wiping out civilizations, or apologizing for the guy wiping out civilizations and bombing bridges and schools. You know, this has to happen. It's got to happen, and it's going to happen at levels, like, quite honestly, no one ever thought was possible.
And Steve, what are you at?
All right, guys. I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. And again, Thursday for the indie wrestling wrap-up, where I'm going to talk about what went down here in Sin City during WrestleMania week for all or most of the indie shows. Dear God, so many shows, so many shows.
Any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.